Our opening scripture this morning is taken from Matthew 9, verses 37 and 38. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers unto his harvest." Our speaker this morning is Dennis Page, and he told me this morning that he has recently moved into Sutherland. So we are glad that he is here this morning. Thank you.
Good morning. It's good to be here. I appreciate the invitation. I thank you, Wendell, for inviting us to come and share. I'm an elder of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Edwardsburg, Michigan. My wife and I have come out here for training at Mission College, and we finished our first portion of training. We've been doing Bible work for about the last 4.5 to 5 months here, Cannonville, Myrtle Creek, Roseburg, Winston, Sutherland. We've been spread out. But, you know, there's people out there, they're responding. And the Lord's moving on people's hearts, and lives are being touched. My wife and I have been also actively involved in prison ministry for several years. My wife, since she joined me, myself, for about 11 years now. As long as I can think about it, or as much as I think about it, prison ministry is a kind of a ministry that's a lot of people don't think about too much. But there's a whole nation of people to be reached behind prison walls. We've also been very active in doing Bible studies with people in our community back home as well. But this morning, I just want to thank you all for the opportunity to come and worship together with you. And I ask you, if you please just bow your head, I want to kneel down and ask God's blessing again before we begin. Loving Father, thank you that we have an opportunity to come into your house. And Lord, we came here today to hear your voice. You said you would bless us on the Sabbath day. We'd receive a double blessing, and we come here today to receive that blessing. Father, I ask that you hide me behind the cross, that I am not heard, but you are heard today. I ask that your Spirit will come down and touch our hearts in a special way and draw us ever closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. It was a Sabbath afternoon. We had just finished our fellowship meal. I was visiting this church for about the second time. And after we had got done eating, the members began to put the chairs away and line up the tables. They got out some paper bags, and the big ones, not the little sacks. They got down boxes and started bringing out potato chips and granola bars and different snacks and Spirit of Prophecy books and Bible studies and all kinds of stuff, and they started filling up these packages for prison ministry. And there was little kids from 3-4 years old going along, and they would put stuff in the bag, and there was elderly people, everybody of all ages, people from the community were being invited to come and partake of this, and it was a thriving ministry. It went from when I first joined Lemuel, we did about 1,500 packages that Sabbath. It took about 7-8 hours with the group of people we had. And we went out to about 6 county jails. The year after that, the Lord blessed and it increased to over 3,200. The year after that, it increased to over 12,000. More and more jails began to open up. State prisons began to open up. But something happened. The church members began to get weary. You know, as it grew so rapidly, they were overwhelmed and they didn't know what to do. And they told Lemuel, they said, we just can't do this here anymore. And Lemuel went, and the Lord led him somewhere else to start doing it. Somebody provided a warehouse, and he started working out of a warehouse. But the heartbreaking thing was, is over the years, as I went back and I spoke at that church over and over again, I noticed that the membership started dwindling and dwindling. And as it's written in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But I knew, as I look back, I knew if they would just ask God, what could we have done? He would have blessed them. He would have gave them wisdom and an ideal to keep on working with that ministry instead of saying it's too much for us to do. God uses ordinary people today, friends. And that's what I want to talk about. I want us to look at a particular person that is often overlooked in the Gospels. His name is Andrew. And we see him in John chapter 1, chapter 6, and chapter 12. Three things Andrew teaches us. One, God uses ordinary people. Two, God uses ordinary methods. And three, God uses ordinary moments. Please turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 35, starting in verse 35. And it says, "And again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus, he walked and said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And two of his disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and said unto them that were following, and he said unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and they abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak, following him, was Simon, Peter's brother." Have you ever been known just by John's brother, or Jack's brother, or Susan's sister, or Joanne's sister? Has anybody ever come up to you and started talking to your spouse, and it's like you're totally invisible to that person, and they'll stand there and talk to your spouse for 15, 20 minutes and never say a word to you? Have you had that happen to you? Simon, Peter's brother. Maybe Peter could run faster than him. Maybe Peter could swim faster than him. We don't know what the deal was, but he's always known as Simon, Peter's brother. Something interesting about Andrew. He never wrote a book of the Bible. He never preached a huge sermon. There's no record of him doing any miracles of healing. There's no record of him raising up a church. But one thing we find out about Andrew as we continue to look today is he's always bringing somebody to Jesus. Verse 41. "And he first finds his own brother, Simon, and said unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus." What we find is Andrew didn't do anything spectacular, but the people he brought to Jesus changed the world and turned it upside down. Peter preached a wonderful sermon on Pentecost, and over 3,000 people were baptized. We see in the book of Acts, Peter doing miracles of healing. We also see that he wrote two books of the Bible. You may never know, friends, your influence upon others. You may not see what's going to happen right there and then with your witnessing to that person, but in the time to come, maybe that person will become a Peter or a Paul. Edward Kimball. Anybody know Edward Kimball? Edward Kimball was about 70 years old. He was a Sunday school teacher. He was just a normal, ordinary person. He noticed a young man come into his class one day. The young man's name was Dwight. And he noticed he wasn't too interested in things. And after his Sunday school class, Edward found out that Dwight wasn't a committed Christian. When he found out where he worked at, he went to the shoe store where he was working, and he asked the owner, "Could I speak to Dwight?" And he said, "Yeah, he's down in the room stocking shoes." And so Edward went down to talk to him, and he said, "I noticed you in class the other day." And he said, "Yes, Mr. Kimball, I'm not very interested in spiritual things." And Edward said to him, he says, "You know what? I'm interested in you, Dwight, because see, if you don't make a commitment to Christ, your life is going to be useless. It's going to be fruitless." And Edward Kimball sat there that morning and he presented the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Dwight made a commitment to Christ that day. That was Dwight L. Moody. This elderly man, just a common, ordinary person, wins this person to Christ. Dwight L. Moody just shook the world and won thousands of people to Christ. Just a common, ordinary man. Dwight couldn't speak very well, but he used the language he could use to win people to Christ. God calls ordinary people. You may be common, friends. You may be ordinary, but God has a mission for you. Do you believe that? God does not call the qualified, but He qualifies those He calls. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:26. 1 Corinthians 1:26. God does not always call someone that has all the gifts, but He gives the gifts to those He calls. It says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called." It doesn't say there's no wise men, no mighty men, or no noble men. It just says not many. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things that are despised has God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are you in Christ, who of God is made unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God calls those who do not have very much wisdom, because Christ is our wisdom. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our strength, friends. You know, there was a woman in Mongolia. She lived out in a village, and the Lord impressed her to start studying the Bible with people. And she was filled with the love of Christ. And she began inviting her neighbors over, and the group grew from 5 to 10 to 20 to 30 to 40. And all of a sudden, the authorities seen what was going on, and they came to her house and they said, "Look, you're going to have to stop sharing your faith or you're going to be in trouble." Right then, about 20 of the people stopped coming. It's interesting how persecution, threat of persecution, purifies. But she continued to study. Well, it wasn't long after that they arrested her. They took her to court and they gave her a year prison sentence. And while she was at prison, she would just sing praises to God and just pour out her heart in prayer. And people were drawn to her. And she began to do Bible studies with those in the prison. After 6 months, the authorities called her into a room and they said, "We're going to let you go." And she said, "No, you're not. You gave me a whole year." And they said, "No, lady, if we keep you here any longer, you're going to convert the whole prison." And they sent her home. Common, ordinary people God is using today. Lemuel. Lemuel was sitting in a little county jail. Lemuel was facing 10 to 20 years for burglary. And just a small group of people came in that day, and they sang a few songs about the love of Christ, and they gave him a small bag of crack and peel peanuts. And he remembers sitting there with a tear coming down his face. He was telling me the story, and he said, "Lord, if there's anything I could ever do for you, please let me know." Lemuel went on to state prison, and he got out, and he continued to sell drugs. But one day he finally surrendered his life to Christ. Lemuel Vega now is running the largest Seventh-day Adventist prison ministry in the history of Seventh-day Adventist Church, called Christmas Behind Bars. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's on 3ABN, called Free Indeed. I've been working with Lemuel for about 11 years now. I just talked to him the other day, and there's prisons opening up. We would do every state prison in the state of Indiana and a third of the county jails every year. And then more states were opening up, and we'd go to Kentucky and Tennessee and North Carolina and Virginia. Virginia said yes to the program, and they said every state prison, you can come and visit every state prison. And Lemuel said, "How many is that?" He said, 30,000 people. "Well, where do you get the money for 30,000 books and 30,000 snack packs?" But you know, God provides. God uses ordinary people. If you want a mission, ask the Lord. Do you believe He'll use you, friends? There was a couple people that invited a gentleman to church with them one day. They knew he was a drug addict and a drug dealer, but they wanted him to know Christ, and they invited him to come. And he went a few times, and he thought, well, you know, he was just going to corrupt those people, so he stopped going to church. Well, those people continued to pray for him, and he had a profound experience, and he found himself in federal prison. And during that time, he continued to study the Bible to know the Lord. That person was me. And God blessed me, and He led me to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The people that were praying for me were not Seventh-day Adventists. But you know, your prayers change lives. It took a while for me to yield to God, but finally I did. I wrote a book. The first one was called The Cell to the Cross. Recently we rewrote that book called A Drop of Grace. The book has touched thousands of people's lives. We've gotten letters back from prisoners that have read the book and said, I want to do Bible studies. We've had people that have received it in a community that have just been encouraged and blessed by it. God uses ordinary people. I'm not an educated person. I barely made it out of high school. But God will use you, friends. He will bless you. It's amazing what God is doing today. The Spirit of God is coming down on ordinary people. Lay people are being called to pass out literature, to do Bible studies. Common, ordinary people, just like Andrew. People that will give God the glory. People that will give the praise to Him that is the blessing of their lives. God will give you a mission. Maybe it's in your office. Maybe it's in the hospital. Maybe it's in your neighborhood. Maybe it's in the garage you work in. You know, do you see prophecy, friends, being fulfilled today? You see what's happening? Everything the Adventist Church has been preaching since the 1800s, it's now coming to a head. It is happening. The Spirit of God is stirring people's hearts up today to know Him. We're meeting people. Daily we're meeting people in the public just by engaging them with just basic conversation, being friendly. When people accept Christ in their lives, He gives them a mission. What mission has Christ put on your heart, friends? Today we have DVDs, we have CDs, we got the printed page, we got radio, we got TV, we got satellite. But you know what? Today, Jesus' method is still the best method. Face to face with somebody, sharing the love of Christ, sharing the teachings of Christ, focusing on Him. God uses ordinary people and ordinary methods. Turn with me to John chapter 6, please. John chapter 6. Jesus is preaching a sermon. There's all kinds of people there in the crowd. Verse 8. There's young people, there's old people, there's educated people, there's some not so educated people. There's the Pharisees and the Sadducees. There's a variety of people there. And He's preaching to them. And He notices He has compassion on the people because He notices they've been sitting there patiently all day long, listening to the words of life. And He tells His disciples, and they're like, 200 pennyworth isn't enough to feed these people. And I was curious, what is 200 pennyworth? I went online and I looked at it. It says, 200 days worth of labor. That's a lot to them back then. And in verse 8 it says, one of His disciples, Andrew, what? Simon Peter's brother. There he is again. Simon Peter's brother. Always living in the shadow of Peter, his brother. He said, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Friends, what talent do you have? You give that talent to Jesus and He'll multiply it. You see, little in the hands of Jesus is much. Small in the hands of Jesus is great. What talent do you have, friends? Put it in the hands of Jesus. Do you say, I'm old? You know what? I believe old people are going to finish the work. Oh yeah. You know what my proof is? How old was Moses when he went back to Egypt? 80 years old. How old was Daniel when he had his first primary vision? Think of that. The first one, not in Daniel 2, but it was Daniel chapter 7. How old was he? He went into captivity when he was about 17, 18. Went through the school of Babylon. He was about 20, 21. He's about in his 70s or early 80s when he has that vision. How old was John the Revelator when he wrote Revelation? 90? You thought you were going to sit down and retire in your rocking chair, didn't you? Oh no, friends. God has a work for you to do. I'll tell you what, I remember a young couple, I'll call them a young couple. I just got out of federal prison and I was assigned to a halfway house, and I wanted to attend a Seventh-day Adventist church, and I had called the pastor, and he said him and the elder would be right over. Well, I remember the pastor and the elder at the prison that I had met, and you know, when I seen this elder come in, he was like really old. I mean, he was old, and I thought to myself, he's the elder? Okay, well, you know, God uses people. And these people were remarkable. Bob and Missy Stringer, I'll never forget them. They made sure they picked me up every Sabbath and took me to church. They were dedicated to ministering to me in a very personal way. They made sure that after church, if there was no fellowship meal, they took me back to their house and they fed me. And they gave me a good vegetarian dinner, you know. Man, she could cook. After being in prison for a while and eating that food, this was wonderful. But they were dedicated, friends. You know, I seen them a few years ago. They're in their 80s now. I seen them a few years ago at a supermax security prison. Still doing prison ministry. Friends, there's no retirement for you. You got the message of Jesus Christ given to you. Jesus gave you that bread. And he said, you take that bread of life and you share it with somebody else. God is going to do something great with you, friends. Something noble, something grand, something wonderful in your latter years. He's going to use you to finish the work. What about the young people? I haven't let you young people out. God's going to use you too to finish the work. You know, there was an Adventist academy in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And the students wanted to hold an evangelistic series. And there's 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old students. And the teacher said, okay, let's start. Let's start putting names on the board who you may invite. And this little girl raises her hand and she said, teacher, my older sister's a Seventh-day Adventist, but she goes out and dances on Friday night. I can invite her. And this little boy raises his hand. He says, teacher, my dad's a deacon in the church and he smokes a little bit. We can invite him. Friends, whatever goes on at home, your children are watching, your grandchildren are watching, you better be careful. They're going to put you on the chalkboard. They're going to start praying for you. They listed out about 18 names. And in the Bible class at school, the teacher started teaching them how to give a presentation on the state of the dead and the Sabbath and the second coming of the Christ and the mark of the beast and the seal of God. And these students were excited as they were practicing and learning these things, and they would practice on their other classmates. And the time came, and opening night, and they did the special music. They did it all. 60 people came out. Only 35 were Seventh-day Adventists. The night that the Mark of the Beast was preached, a little boy is about 13 years old, I think it was, he gave that sermon. And afterwards, this man came up to him and he said, I'm so angry. I'm so mad. And that little boy is just shaking and trembling. He didn't know what to think. And he says, I've been going to my church all these years and I never heard this message. And I had to hear it from you, a 12-year-old boy. He said, where's your pastor? I want to know more. God's going to use the young people, friends. He has a plan for you. He's got a work for you to do. There was 14 people baptized in that evangelistic series. You know, I was just part of an evangelistic series a year ago. This is my first time ever doing it. Very nervous. We didn't have any baptism. Man, these little kids, they did great. Amen? God is using young people, old people, you know, middle-aged people, gray-haired people, no-haired people, right? Educated people, not so educated people. God has a plan. You know, is there a prayer ministry? Has God put it on your heart for a prayer ministry? You know, I'll tell you what, friends. When we started doing Bible work, one of the first things that we did, we went over and we visited the pastor at Canyonville and we said, do you have any shut-ins? And he says, yeah, we have shut-ins. I said, we want to make them a part of the ministry here. We want to give them a list of names of people who were possible Bible study candidates and people we're studying with. Will you please have them pray for them? And he started praying for these people, and we've got people asking for baptism. We got people that have invited Jesus into their heart. We have people that accepted the seventh-day Sabbath. We have one miracle of healing. God's Spirit is being poured out. What has God called you to do, friends? Like the loaves and the fishes, God will use what we give to Him, and He'll give it back to us, and He'll multiply that blessing. You know, God can't bless what you don't give out. He can't bless the Bible study you don't give. He can't bless the encounter with your neighbor if you don't go and knock on the door. He can't bless the prayer you don't offer. Take those loaves and fishes and give them to Jesus. Give Him what you have. He will bless and multiply. I'll tell you the story about Ramon in Brazil. Mark Finley went there to preach an evangelistic series, and the conference president said, "Mark, you got to meet Ramon. He's our greatest soul winner in the conference. He's won over 1,200 people to Christ." Wow, Mark Finley was amazed. He says, "I got to see this guy. I want to talk to him. I want to know how he's doing it." And so he went to see him, and he started talking to Ramon, and Ramon's telling him how it's going and all of that, and Mark had to finally kneel down and talk to him because Ramon's a midget. And he said, "Ramon, how do you do it?" And he says, "Well, Mr. Finley, Pastor Finley, I just do this. And then I do this. Or I do this, and then I do this." And Pastor Finley's like, "What? What are you talking about?" And he says, "Yeah, I do this, and I do this, and I do this. Come on, do it with me. Practice with me. I promise I'm not going to start a liberal movement. All right? Come on, do this. Try it. Smile. Do it. Okay, now do this. Okay, now do this." Pastor Finley said, "All right, Ramon, you got to tell me, what are you doing?" He says, "First I smile, and I invite people to my house. Then I take your DVD and I put it in like this. And then I push the button like this. And then we sit down there and we watch it together. And then I just look at them. After it's all done, I look at them and I say, 'Now don't you want to do what Pastor Finley said?' And we have a prayer together. And Ramon has won over 1,200 people to Christ with that simple method." Friends, God can't bless those videos sitting on your bookshelf. He can't bless the Bible studies that are collecting dust. Invite people to your home. It's that simple. It's that simple, friend. What is God calling you to do? He has a plan for you. God uses ordinary methods. I met this guy in prison. His name is Chuck Gibson. He was a pagan worshiper. I would share with him about the love of Christ. I shared with him about Daniel 2, and he got all excited. He never gave his life to Christ then. But later, after I got out, he called me. He wanted to know about God, and I sent him some Bible studies. That's all I could do. I sent him some Bible studies, but we prayed for him, and Chuck gave his life to Christ, and he got baptized. And he's now a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He makes these cards like this. This is a Father's Day card, and he sent it to me. And he makes cards for hospice patients and for other prisoners, for Mother's Day, and he'll put stuff in there, and he'll put a Bible verse in there, and that's really neat. But what's really special about Chuck is he's a paraplegic, and he can't use his right arm other than hold something. God gave him a card-making ministry. We copy flowers and different things and birds and stuff, and my wife and I, we send those to him, and he's got a thriving ministry there, and he's touching people's lives. Friends, what talent has God given to you? He will bless it. He will use it. Please turn with me to John chapter 12. God uses common, ordinary people. He uses common, ordinary methods. And He uses common, ordinary moments. Maybe it's a walk in the park when you'll meet somebody. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's at the grocery store. Maybe it's in your neighborhood. You know, Jesus didn't plan His witnessing very much. He prayed in the morning and asked God for power and guidance and direction. And then He went out and He ministered to people. He encountered the woman at the well, Zacchaeus in the tree, Matthew at the tax collecting bench, Peter and his friend, his brother at the fishing nets. And here, again, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came to worship at the feast, and the same came therefore to Philip, which was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And what does Philip do? He comes and he tells Andrew. And then what does Andrew do? He goes to Jesus. They go to Jesus. Here we see Andrew again, bringing people to Jesus. Friends, are you bringing people to Jesus? He took that moment. The Greeks, the heart of those people, they were open at that moment. Are you praying for discernment, for divine appointments every day? I tell you, if you pray for divine appointments, you're going to get one. God will bless you with one. I was picking up supplies at Lowe's, and I met this gentleman. His name was Otis. He was working there. And we just started talking, and we got to talking about the seventh-day Sabbath. And he's a Sabbath keeper. He goes to a Pentecostal church. His whole church keeps the Sabbath. Well, I invited him to our house to do Bible studies. We started doing Bible studies with him. But then he stopped. He stopped coming. But he introduced us to somebody else at the store. Her name was Diane. Well, one day he made arrangements for me to meet Diane, because I'd always go and pick up Otis at his house and bring him out to our house. And I went there, and he wasn't there, but Diane pulled in behind me. So I met her for the first time. I said, would you like to come over for our first Bible study? Yeah, sure, she says. Complete stranger, she follows me all the way out in the country to a home where I tell her my wife is in the house, really. She goes in the house with me, and she meets my wife. After we sat and got acquainted with her, and we went through our first Bible study, and I wasn't really good at doing Bible studies, so all I had was the little booklet, Amazing Facts booklets. And so we just read through those and made an appeal. And she said, can my husband come next week? We said, sure, you bet. An ordinary moment. God blessed them. They studied with us. They were baptized. He's a deacon in the church. He's now taken over the prison ministry program at that church because I'm not there. My wife and I are not there. His wife did her first VBS last year, was blessed. They're active members in the church. From an ordinary moment, just witnessing to somebody at the grocery store, at Lowe's building center. And the interesting thing was, is the person I originally started witnessing to wasn't the person that at the end God brought to our house. You never know, friends. Divine, ordinary moments. Just the other day here, and walking on the street, I meet Robbie. Robbie comes up to me because I'm approaching his sister's house. He's wondering what I'm doing there. And he comes up to me and he says, who are you looking for? And I said, well, I'm looking for so-and-so. And he said, that person doesn't live here anymore. I said, hey, Robbie, I said, would you be interested in doing Bible studies? He said, yeah. Yeah, he says, I've been watching this guy on YouTube and I don't want to go to hell. I said, Robbie, I'll tell you, we're going to learn a lot about Jesus. He says, well, please, I want to get baptized. So I went to his house. We did the first Bible study together. After we studied the Bible together, his mother said to me, I don't know if you realize this, but Robbie's autistic. And I said, really? I couldn't tell. He was such a good reader. When I asked him the question, he would look at the verse and he would pull out the answer right from the verse. I was amazed. I couldn't believe it. We've studied about 5 times now. He's thrilled with what he's learning. Just the other day at the grocery store, this African-American man, he looked like a pro football player, about 6'5", about 300 pounds. He smiled at me. Oh, that's all it takes, friends. Just smile at me. We're talking. Smiled back, and then he gets behind us in line, and my wife's going, talk to him, you know? I'm like, all right. Well, something happened at the cash register. The lady was really rude to him, so he went to another cash register, and we wait for him to come out in the parking lot. We started talking with him, and he's open for Bible studies. I gave him a first Bible study on Daniel chapter 2. And he says, you know what, come over to my house. He goes, you know, I just started wanting to get back in a relationship with God. He had fallen away. Divine, ordinary moments. When I look around at events taking place today, I'm praying in the morning, Lord, make my heart sensitive to people. Anoint my eyes. Give me discernment to recognize the Spirit moving on them. Change my heart, Lord, and make me a vessel of use in your hands. Please turn with me to our scripture reading, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to start with verse 36. Matthew 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, speaking of Jesus, he was moved with what? Compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know what he does? Jesus tells them to pray, and then he sends them out. Chapter 10, verse 5, he says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, go. He told them their mission. You know, how many of you have prayed for laborers in the harvest field? Have you prayed that prayer? Did you realize that God was telling you to go? Yes, friends. He's asking you to go. God uses common, ordinary people. I don't know what your mission is. I don't know what he's asking you to do. But I know he has a mission for you. Bosnia, June 8th, 1995. Scott O'Grady waited 6 days. He had been praying and waiting for rescue. His F-16 was shot down, and he had parachuted out. In 20 seconds, he ejected. And when he landed, the enemy went out to capture him. In minutes, Serbian troops surrounded him, but they couldn't find him. He hid his face in the dirt. He ate ants and grass to survive. He drank water from his drenched socks. Special forces were dispatched with a naval fleet of 40 planes. The whole shooting match was garnered for one soldier, this whole system of support for his rescue for one man who pleaded, help, I am alive, please send help. I want to invite my wife to come up, and she's going to sing a song. And as she sings this song, I ask you to meditate on the words and ask the Lord to speak to your heart, friends. He has a mission for you. Today, God is calling from heaven. What if it was you, friends? What if it was you shot down behind those enemy lines? What if it was a brother or sister of yours, mother or father? Would you want somebody to go? Would you want somebody to be there? What about those hurting people in our neighborhoods, in our community? Broken people. People that are filled with fear and anxiety because they don't know what the world, what's going to happen. People that are deceived. People that are left for dead. What about them? Friends, have you heard the Holy Spirit speak into your heart today? I can assure you that there is somebody in your sphere of influence God is calling you to minister to them. Will you be fair with God? Friends, will you be fair with God? Will you ask Him, Lord, convict me? Lay it on my heart. Lay a burden on my heart, what you would have me to do. Maybe it's a prayer ministry, like I said. Maybe it's a neighborhood ministry. Maybe it's a Bible ministry. Maybe it's a youth ministry, some type of ministry. Maybe it's baking bread and giving it to your neighbors and praying for them. Maybe it's a cooking ministry. I don't know. But I believe God has something for you. Do you believe God has something for you, friends? Will you ask Him? Is that your desire? If it is your desire to pray earnestly, I'm talking earnest prayer and asking, Lord, please lay that burden on my soul of ministry for you, something I can do for you. If that's your desire, I invite you to please stand. You see, if God could use some dried fish to feed 5,000 people and plus, He can use you and me. If He could use an old dried stick in the hands of Moses to deliver Israel, friends, He can use you and me. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we thank You for speaking to our hearts today. We thank You, Lord, that You use common, ordinary people, young and old, middle-aged. It doesn't matter what our educational background is. You want to use us. And we thank You for that. And Father, the congregation, the people here stand before You today because You have spoken to their heart, not me. But You have made an appeal and they stand and answer. Lord, give it to them. You said, ask and you shall receive. Each one is asking for something, Lord. I ask that You bless them in a special way. Make it clear to them. Convict them, Lord, what You'd have them do. Maybe they already have a ministry going. Show them how to expand that ministry. Father, the time is nigh. Jesus is soon to come. And there is yet much work to do. Bless this church. Bless each prayer that is being offered to You right now as a plea for what You'd have them to do. And pour out Your Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.